Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Reach up and touch your ears and repeat after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, let me hear what the Spirit would say to me. I give all of my relationships to you because you're the beginning of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say to you, when you came in today, you got this. If you need a pen, I want you to raise your hand. We'll get that to you. But I don't want you to start an exercise you don't finish. And so in here, you're going to hear a bunch of stuff today. We're going to do a brief recap of last week. And then I have got five incredible people to help me today. And I have given them an incredible task. In the Super Bowl, 100 million people watch it. It's $7 million for every 30 seconds. $7 million for every 30 seconds. And so I said to my wonderful family here, I said to them, I'm going to ask you four questions, and you have 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Now, for the people on this side, they speak a lot. So for them, it's a major challenge. It's a major challenge to take this and say like this. But let me ask you this question. What if you could do your whole testimony in 30 seconds? Oh, my goodness. Do you realize you could be in the line at the grocery store and just go, before they could ever watch their clock or even say anything, you're done. And the bomb has been dropped. The bomb of love, of His Spirit, of the gospel. And so we're going to look at the pyramid, and I want to thank what an incredible team we have here. Yes. We do not want to start today without saying we love and we miss Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, and we pray for them. Are you praying for them? Are you praying for them? Oh, God, that felt great. And I'm sure they felt that also. But you see the pyramid, and what it starts with is an upside-down pyramid, you remember, because He who is great is the servant of all. And God is the foundation of everything. The world does the straight up pyramid where He's way up. No. He's right. If you build on any other foundation other than Him, it's not going to last. So last week, we talked about that God is first. You see it right here. Learning to be one with Him. Starting first thing in the morning like He did with Adam and then Adam and Eve. He started and set their direction for the day. The first commandment was no other idols. He's the first. No other idol. Any relationship above God makes it an idol. And watch this. You doom the relationship. So we realize that we have complete vulnerability, complete transparency, and there's no other relationship will be blessed if it's not God first. So what did you hear last week?
Amen. I love you all. I heard that God has to be first. God is first in my life. I asked Him for a word to try to explain to you what I have. And He said the word bonding, like when an infant nurses and the eye contact with the mother is a bonding, or like two metals that bond together, or a marriage, two become one. God says that I am God bonded. And that's what He wants for you. Amen?
All right. Nope. Stand back up. Stay up. Number two, the Bible doesn't threaten the devil. The Bible becoming flesh. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh. That scares the devil. Question, what did you do this week?
This week, I...
Go ahead.
I looked at my relationship with God.
Hear it?
I looked at my relationship with God, and I said, God, am I moving forward? Remember, we teach in marriage, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And he gave me the word ascending, like a stairwell. Every time, the secret in God is to get his trust.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get his trust, he will give you revelation. And you have to live that revelation and walk that revelation. That revelation must become flesh.
Great job. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sonny. Number two, we saw covenant relationships where we're totally vulnerable, totally transparent. And the reason this is so important, when you become one with somebody, it changes who you are. Okay. So we realize this is very, very important. I told you about the two becoming one. I told you about Jonathan and David. I told you about Ruth and Naomi. What did you hear last week?
Morning, Hope. So what really impacted me was when you mentioned that a new person is formed in the chemistry of the union.
Uh-huh.
So the two take on a new form.
Yeah.
When I think of this, I think of like a chemical reaction, right? Like, a chemical reaction, when that takes place, things, ingredients come together, something new completely forms, and you can't separate it.
That's good.
Like a cake, right? When you bake a cake, you put the flour, the eggs, the oil, you bake it, you can't take them out. So when I think of this level of relationship, I think two becoming one, or a cake, right? It changes the makeup of who you are inside because of the depth of your relationship.
That was great. Now, you got the word.
Right.
What did you do this week? Action. And
so I prayed to ask God to help me to think about what I can do to contribute to the relationship, because the outcome is partially dependent on me and it can't be changed. So to open my eyes.
That's awesome. Number three, covenantal relationships, limited vulnerability and transparency. What is the reason? This is usually between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. What are the boundaries? You share your gifts and fruits with each other. You're not one, but you incredibly influence each other. He's thinking about Elijah, Elisha. He said, if you follow me, if you stay in covenant with me, when I die, you'll get twice what I got. Amen. So, what did you hear last week?
Good morning, Hope.
Good morning.
I'm not too sure how I'm going to follow up my wife, but
you're losing time.
Right. At this level, I realize that, like Bishop said, the principle is a give and take relationship. You give something, you receive something.
That's right.
And I have always had a problem with the receiving part. I never had an issue with giving, but then I realized that with receiving, I'm receiving to build the kingdom. I'm giving to build the kingdom.
Yep.
What I receive and what I give is not for me. Yeah. It's not for you. It's for the kingdom and for us to build up.
All right. Great job. All right. Now, what did you do with that this week? What's your action?
This week, I prayed about my heart posture. I prayed that I would be able to give more and to receive more for the kingdom.
Well done, Chase. Number four. You see it? Covenantal relationships where there's no vulnerability, limited transparency. It's for the good of the disciple. You're discipling and you're mentoring here. You're not there to get approval. You're there to build strong character. This is where natural and spiritual children come in. You want Bible? It's the whole Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. What did you hear last week?
So what I heard is that every relationship builds the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
right? So every God-given covenant relationship has a purpose and an assignment.
Yes.
So we talked about Ruth and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship had a purpose and an assignment.
Yes.
The purpose and the assignment was to get Ruth to the threshing floor so that she could meet Boaz, so that that line that eventually led to Jesus could happen. And we look at Paul and Timothy.
Yes.
That relationship
Good.
Had a purpose and an assignment so that Paul could speak into Timothy so that he could build his church. So when we start operating outside of the purpose and the assignment of the relationship, that is when we see a breakdown. So we have to understand the purpose and the assignment that God gives us when he says younger women teach the older women teach. I don't want to be older, but older women teach the younger women. What is the purpose and what is the assignment there?
Great job. You know that she led with the Boaz story. Okay.
And the threshing floor. Okay. The women will know that.
Here we go. That's a great word. What did you do to put it in action?
So it's about being intentional with those that God has placed in my life to mentor and support into.
Yep.
So for me to get with God, what is the purpose and the assignment of this relationship? And how does he want me to intentionally pour into this so that they can reach their potential?
Well done, kid. Number five, you see it up there, covenantal relationship with God. Now watch this. You don't have covenant with the world. You have covenant with God to touch the world. Okay. There's no, you're not there to be influenced. You're there to influence. For God so loved the
world.
What did you hear, son, last week?
Well, I want to start off by saying level four was supposed to be mine.
Okay, let it go.
Let it go. I realized there was a reason why I had to take five.
Yeah. Okay.
Be not in the world. I'm in the world, but not necessarily of the world.
That's right. Yeah.
So the whole point of this structure, where was this? 20 years ago.
Right. Yes.
Where we could have evaluated these proper boundaries to understand that one, two, three, and four are necessary in order to serve.
God, that's great. That's great. Okay, I know you're an action man. You're an action man. So what did you do this week for action?
Well, in action, I decided I needed to read and understand more of the context.
Okay.
And where we were last week, and Candy, I'm going to call you out, because when we all started to read John 3:16, for God so loved the
world
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. So yeah, I know you struggled with that last week. Let's go to 17. Keep reading. Keep reading. 17 said, and he did not send his son to the world so to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Good word. So I told you to put everybody, I'm helping you here, to put everybody, every relationship you have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every relationship you have must bring glory to God. The principle is, I'm not starting today with the negative, but if you stop the covenant killers, growth in a healthy environment is natural if all of your relationships are in the right environment. I did not need to sneak into our children's room at night going, hallelujah, grow, hallelujah, grow. I didn't have to do that. All I had to do is make sure they got the right rest, feed them right, make sure they exercised, clothed them, all the things they need to do. Growth just happens if you remove the negatives. All right, so here's your covenant killers. Number one covenant killer, the flesh is not bad. It just can't lead. Okay, see, for those of you that were Pentecostal, y'all are having a heart attack right now. Me saying, okay. Principle, relationships founded on emotion will be turbulent at best and normally devastating. These two words take on great meaning in Scripture because the flesh represents everything that's natural, earthly, and human, while the spirit signifies the supernatural, the heavenly, and the divine. Both are critical to the believer. In other words, a person without God's Holy Spirit that's purely fresh, flesh, has no spiritual ears or heart to see. They can't comprehend the message that Jesus came to bring. The Lord told Nicodemus in John 3:6 that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. But that doesn't mean the flesh is bad. I love to tell this story. And that is in Revelation 10, and you can read it on your own, you will see the Bible says there was an angel that came from heaven. If you go back to Daniel, you will find out that this was Jesus that's standing there. I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but I will tell you, it says his right foot was on the sea, which is always symbolic of the spirit. His left foot was on the land, which is always symbolic of the natural. If you don't have power and covenant relationships, both in the spirit and in the natural, you'll never be in balance. Okay. I could take AJ, as big and strong as he is, and I could bring the smallest child up here. And if he was standing on one foot, they could push him over with a finger. And that's when you're not in balance, you're easily vulnerable to attack. So, what challenged you with this word?
Well, we are all spirits.
That's right.
Housed in the flesh. And I grew up with that saying, crucify the flesh, crucify. But that's not what God meant. He said, let the spirit lead. So if you allow the spirit to lead you in every situation, how can, it's like putting your hand in a glove. The spirit has to make the, cause the motion in the flesh. So what I want to do is do what the spirit says in every incident of my life.
What are you going to do this week? This week on this principle.
On this principle. The kingdom of God is doing life God's way.
Yep.
I want to do everything that I do intentional, staying in tune, one mind, staying in tune with the spirit, my spirit, his spirit, and do exactly what he wants me to do and say. Because it's a kingdom of words. We must speak what he wants us to speak, when he wants to speak, and how he wants to speak.
Well done. If I was going to do a soundbite on this, I would say God gave me a powerful flesh, so I must have a much more powerful spirit to succeed in my destiny. I said God gave every one of us a powerful flesh. That's your passion. That's your desire to do those things. Those are all flesh things. So I must have a more powerful spirit. Number two, covenant killer. Failing to keep truth paramount or first in the covenantal relationship rather than worrying about rejection or losing the relationship. I keep hearing young people come to me and say, if I tell them the truth, I'm afraid I'll lose them. You don't supposed to have them in the first place if truth would run them off. Don't waste your heart and don't waste your time. This is how you become unequally yoked. It's not just believer and unbeliever. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of marriages that still have little areas in their life where they're unequally yoked. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. The greatest victory that Sonny and I have had is finally the last 10 years of being completely yoked together. And remember, in the Bible, that was always about the oxen in the yoke, which were, listen, custom made for those oxen where they could pull together. One can put 1,000 to flight, two? 10,000. So, in 1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 8, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. You must always be telling the truth in love because you can beat somebody to death with the truth. Truth and love are always connected in the Bible. If you tell somebody the truth without love, you risk offending them and blocking them from the truth. Who has a word on this?
I do. The world. So many times in church, the various churches growing up, you know, thinking and channeling my mother, we hear these different excerpts. Like I said earlier, for example, be in the world, not of the world. That comes from Romans 12:2.
Yep.
And as a fellow friend of ours, Minister Tamon, shared with me. He said, keep reading. Like I said earlier, keep reading. If you go to Romans 12:3, it says, because of this privilege and authority God has given, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are.
That's a good word.
And in that, if we are not evaluating our relationships based on those five levels specifically and sharing that truth, what you will find in love, what you'll find is a lot of times these relationships, because they are out of context, will end in unnecessary pain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good job. My soundbite is, it's not a covenant relationship if I can't tell you the truth and you receive it. Yeah. Number three, covenant killer, crossing boundaries that the Word of God has set or that you have agreed on in the past. The principle is, you can get so comfortable in a relationship that you get sloppy with your values and beliefs. Don't be lazy. If relationships are a treasure, don't be lazy with your treasure.
Yeah.
Remember, God, this is so powerful. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Pray over your mind in the Holy Scriptures. I'm not going to read it, but please write down Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. You should always read that scripture before you read your Bible. Because it says, may I ask that the God of revelation, okay, that would be there with me. And how serious is it? In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anybody takes away the words, God says, I will take away his part of the tree of life. What did you hear? What challenged you?
So what challenged me in the principle that Bishop spoke about was, you know, being comfortable in a relationship so that when things get sloppy in your beliefs and values. So I thought about, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable so that I never get to those boundaries to cross.
Good word.
And then what the real challenge was is to ensure that my covenantal relationships are in order based on the pyramid. It made me evaluate those and make sure those things are in the proper place. And another thing that spoke to me and challenged me is accountability. To know that there is a boundary, to identify boundary, and not to cross that boundary. So putting God first at the foundation will help you to not cross that boundary.
Good word. So what are you going to do this week?
This week, I'm going to make sure that I spend a lot more intimate time with the Word and with God. Listen to him, hear him, feel him out, speak to him on a regular basis so that he is first and he shows me where those boundaries are and he's my sniper. He's gonna knock them out.
Good word. Number four, covenant killer. Don't throw out long-time relationships for the exciting new relationship. If someone asks you to not have relationship with someone you're in covenant with, run from them. The principle is comparing your relationships with other relationships, covenant relationships, is great error. Every covenant relationship is unique in itself and is serving a purpose in your life that no other relationship can serve. All right, who's up?
So when I heard the title of this one, I was like, I'll do this one. Then I heard the question, what challenged you? And I'm like, how do I even answer this? Because I've been blessed with some really great relationships.
Yes.
And you know the whole new thing, like no new friends, that's me. So because I have such a good relationship with my husband and my best friends, I'm not tempted to leave. Then God reminded me that it's not just about friends and your husband, it's also like your pastor or people who you're close to. And there have been instances where people will come to you and say, hey, look at this side. This is cool, you know, jump ship. And what it really made me think of is that the grass always seems greener on the other side until you realize that it's really just painted green. Like there are gaps that you can't even see. And then you jump ship and you realize that what you thought was the norm were really high standards that were set in your long-term relationship.
That's such a great word. So what you going to do this week?
I'm going to pray for discernment to be able to figure out what's real from what's fake.
One of the greatest things you can ever do. Let me get you to the last covenant killer. You can't start a covenant relationship that you don't intend to give the time to it and invest in it. Look at the model. Look at Jesus. He invested in the disciples. That's our model. He lived it out in front of them. And listen to me. Don't be giving your word. Because when you give your word, that's making covenant. Don't tell your kids you're going to take them some. Okay. All right. Just like God's word's a covenant between us and him, our word is a covenant on earth between believers. Right. What did you hear?
Relationships require work. Yeah. It requires a lot of work, and not just a marriage relationship. We talk about that all the time. But every covenant relationship requires us to put in the work to fulfill the purpose and the assignment of the relationship. So we have to be intentional about investing the time and investing ourselves into the relationship. And like Apostle said, if you don't have the time and you don't want to do the work, don't get into the relationship.
So what are you going to do this week? That's a powerful word.
Do the work. Yeah. Do the work. We can get busy. I can get busy, you know, with things that are going on in my life. But I have a responsibility to invest time into the people that God has entrusted me with in a relationship. So do the work.
Amen. Amen. That's great. My soundbite on that is, I will never tell you I don't have time for our covenant relationship, because that's why God gave me time in the first place. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about all of the things you've heard today. All of our panelists are going to stand right now. They're going to lift their hands out towards you. And I want to just say to you, if you say, my relationship with God needs to improve, I really need my relationship to be more. Raise your hand. Let me see. I need my relationship to be more with God. Stand up. Stand up right now, and let me just pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you put us on earth to have relationship with you so we can have a relationship with people. Everybody that's standing up, somebody touch them. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, everybody, 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 everybody. God, you're first. God, you are first. You are first. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. Number two, how many of you realize you could do better in the covenant relationship you're in? Raise your hand. Let me say, wave it at me. Wave it at me, wave it at me, wave it at me. God, thank you for giving us every covenant relationship you have. Thank you for giving us every covenant relationship. God, we take it serious. We pour in more. We receive more. Like Jason said, we give more, we receive more. We thank you, God, that we take the time. That's right, Kendi, to work on every one of these relationships. How many of you have spiritual sons and daughters, people that look up to you as a mom and dad, the faith? Wave your hand at me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe right now that they will come with a greater discipleship and mentoring mantle than they've ever had before in their life. I thank you, God, that we will raise them up. We will fulfill the great commission and disciple people, communities, and nations. And everybody stand up right now. Everybody. Kendi quoted a scripture yesterday in a teaching, and when she said, all of heaven rejoices over one. I'm going to pray that God give you a love to touch people in the world. your covenant with God to touch the world. Let's all say it. We are in covenant with God to touch the world. To touch the world. God, you love the world. I love the people in the world. God, right now, this week, say this week, let me touch the people like you would touch the people. In Jesus' name. Last prayer, everybody's still closed eyes. If you say, Bishop, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I want to pray over you. I'm never going to take a chance. Why wouldn't we want to make all heaven rejoice? If you're here, you say, I need to make my relationship right with the Lord, or I need to start a relationship with the Lord. Let me see your hand. Nobody's looking. It's just you and me. Raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I want relationship with you. Father God, I want relationship with you first. And today, everything changes. Say it, everything changes. In Jesus' name. The kingdom of God is built in relationships. If that's true, turn to three people, love them, hug them, and say, I'm here for you. Whatever level, I'm here for you.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.